God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
And God is good. Amen.
All the time.
I don't know about running marathons, but I ran one this morning, so I'm not used to running anymore, so it was kind of hard, but by the grace of God, I was thinking about the scripture that says, the road is narrow, and few are on it. You know, God is going to get us home. Amen?
Amen?
No matter how many roadblocks they put up. Amen?
Amen?
Would you bow your heads, please? My Heavenly Father, thank you, my Father God, for the beautiful day you've given us, Lord. The Word says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My Father God, thank you for the privilege and the honor to share your holy word. Dear God, I pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you would minister to each and every one of us here. Thank you, Father, for how merciful and how loving you are. Thank you for your saving grace, my Jesus. We pray for your help in everything in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to, in your Bibles, to 1 Samuel chapter 23. The story in this chapter relates to the fact that Saul was looking to kill David. And he didn't look anywhere else. All he wanted to do was one thing. And he pursued it until it killed him. The word of God said, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you don't follow the Lord, that's what you're going to find. That's what he found. And for us, by the grace of God, we're going to have eternal life with Jesus. Amen? Look at verse 8 in chapter 23. He says, and Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now, here's a guy that's, you know, you have 20, 30,000 people, and you have a man that's got 600, 200 people with him. Yeah. And he wants to annihilate him. He wants to kill him. And it doesn't really look at what's going on or anything else. He's just going to go ahead and do the best and everything that he can to go ahead and do that. So, you know, sometimes in the process of our lives, we do the same thing. We kind of focus on one thing instead of turning to God and asking God for his will and for his way. This morning, coming here, it seemed like every street that we turned, we would go so far and it was a roadblock and we had to turn around and go the other way. And somehow or another, the sister who was with me and was praying and she said, Lord, help us to get there. And sure enough, you know, we went around here, around there and what have you. And sure enough, God got us to a place to where we had to walk here, but God got us here. Amen. You know, Saul, in his lifetime, had been blessed by God and chosen by God to do something. But he chose to rebel against God and disobey God. He chose to do things his own way. And by the grace of God, for you and I, at some point in our lives, we turned our lives over to God. And that was the best thing that we could have ever done.
Amen.
You see, the Word of God says that He has a plan for you and I that's different than what this world has. And in the process of having that plan and accomplishing that plan and being following the plan, you will be blessed in your life. I've been blessed in my life to trust God and just to honor Him and serve Him and just keep following Him no matter what kind of roadblocks they put in front of me. Amen? In verse 9, it says, "And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief." I got some new glasses, and I'm kind of adjusting them. "Mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod." Now, you see, when you're aware of something, you have two choices. You can turn to God and say, "Lord, I'm going to give you this, and please help me with it." And the Word of God says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you." Amen?
Amen.
You know, now, if you want to carry the bag and you want to carry the rocks, it's up to you, but it gets pretty heavy after a while. Amen? So David, in his own way, okay, and the kind of person that he was, the first thing he did was he turned to God. And verse 10, he said, "Then said David, O Lord of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me unto his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Now, I hope that most of you pray and talk to God. And the important thing is that when you ask God for something, is to wait on God for the answer. Amen?
Amen.
I had a call a couple of weeks ago about my granddaughter's husband. He's about 35, between 35 and 40, young guy. And she was crying because the doctor found cancer in one of his lymph nodes. And they had an operation and removed it, and they were running a bunch of tests on the others. And so they wanted to ask if we could pray for him. And I said, yeah. And I've had times that I've been visiting with them, and they're not believers. And the first time that my wife and I went to their home, we had a whole bunch of people there from their families. And when we sat down to eat, they asked me if I would say grace. And it really surprised me because I wasn't expecting that. But by the grace of God, every time that we went there after that, they always asked us to share the word and say grace for the food. And that was a blessing. So I'm praying for their salvation. And somehow, Lord willing, you know, hopefully God will open their hearts. But the important thing was that I got a call a couple of days ago, and the cancer, no cancer, was all gone. You know? Now, the first thing that I did when they had called, I have, like David, an army. Okay, it's called Prayer Warriors. And God's put in my heart, when a problem comes up and somebody calls me, that's the first thing I do is talk to God, and then I talk to the prayer warriors. And I ask them to pray for whatever the cause is, that God's will be done. Amen? So, to me, as a person, when you say trusting in God, it's something very important, because in my life, without Him, I'd be nothing. And most of you know that I still work, and I do a lot of things, and a lot of people consider that a marvel. So do I, because I never planned to be doing this. But by the grace of God, every day I wake up and I go to this army, and we get together and we pray, and we ask God to bless our day. We thank God for giving us another day. And at the end of the day, we do the same thing. We come together to thank God for helping us throughout the day. And if you notice, it doesn't make any difference who it is. The Word of God says that all good things come from up above. So the healing for that cancer didn't come from our prayer. It came from God. But we thank God that He heard our prayer. Amen? See, David inquired of God and asked God, are the people going to turn me over to Saul? Is Saul coming down? And God answered him and said, bless you. God said, yes, they are. See, God knows what's going to happen, okay? Not you and I, but God does. Now, we have a very vivid, creative imagination that we think about all kinds of things about what's going to happen and how it's going to work out and what have you. And I'm sorry, it's going to work out God's way. Amen? Don't be surprised. You don't know how God's going to do it. Neither do I. Okay? But when it's done, you're going to know that only God could have done it that way. Amen? Yeah. In verse 11, will the man of Keilah deliver me into the hands? Will Saul come down, as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. You see, I've asked people before, are you praying? He says, well, I prayed, but I've never heard anything. I believe in my heart that when I ask God something, that he cares about what I'm asking, and he answers me, okay? And I'm blessed here that by the grace of God, we've been here over 30-some-odd years, and I've seen tremendous amount of miracles that God has done, including the miracle in my life to keep me going every day of life. Amen? Amen. David had a lot of flaws. He wasn't perfect. There's none of us that's perfect. But, he did have a very resounding quality, and that was that he believed who God was. And he trusted God with things that he knew that there was no way that he could handle or take care of. And this is something, when we're young, like in my life, I thought that I could do everything, and that I had the strength and the capacity to accomplish anything. And for a long time, for 40 years, I lived that way. And I came to find out that I was wrong. And the day that I found out, I realized how merciful God was, that somehow, some way, he had let me live with my arrogance and pride. And all of a sudden, I just said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please help me, because if you don't, I'm going to die. And because of that, the Lord blessed me and gave me life. And today, here I am. Amen? That's the time. It's important for us to understand who God is. Yeah. David knew, okay, the important things and everything in his life rested with God, not with anybody else. Amen? You see, in our lives today, okay, we're having all kinds of decisions that are being made by other people for our lives. Our governor makes a decision. Our mayor makes a decision. The president makes a decision. All kinds of different things, you know. Whether they turn to God or not, we don't know. But we trust God with our lives and what's going to happen today and tomorrow until the day calls. I mean, until the day that the Lord calls us home. Amen. Yeah. Now there are some people. I get calls from different people concerning all kinds of different things. I had a call yesterday about a baby that was born, and the baby wasn't whole. And this lady said, "I'm confused." She said, "Why would God allow that?" He said, can you tell me? And I said, no. I said, I'm not God. I said, but I do know one thing, that if you sincerely believe, you can ask God, and God will give you an answer for what you're looking for. See, sometimes I think we want to explain something that we don't understand and something that we don't know. And we shouldn't. Amen? Chuck Smith taught us that in a very strong way. He said, if it's not in the Bible and God hasn't said it, I'm not going to say it or do it either. And that's something very important for all of us. You know? The lady was unhappy with my answer and with the things that I had to share with her. But I did say, you know, if you would like, I'll meet with you this coming week at the office. And I said, you're welcome to come, and we'll sit down and we'll look at the Word of God, and we'll see what God shows you and me concerning all of these things that would give you an answer. I said, I'll pray about it too, to ask God for wisdom on how to help you. And she finally said, okay, fine, we'll set up an appointment this week. I said, all right. So I was grateful that she just didn't quit and take off. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we have the solution that we think is right for us, and we go at it, and we find out that that was the wrong thing that we did. Amen? And I can't save anybody. Neither can you. Only God can. But I certainly do my best to reach out to someone with the love and everything that God has blessed me with to help them. And that's what I want to do in my life. I don't want to do anything else. Lord, help me to be a servant. Create in me a servant's heart. And help me to serve others in a capacity that somehow, some way, they won't see me. They will see you, because they need you, Lord, like I do. Amen? In verse 12, then said David, verse 13, then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him out of his hand. Now, every day of our lives, we have plans. And every day of our lives, we come up with different things that maybe we need to do, or go to work, or something comes up that we need to accomplish. I would encourage you that whatever it is today that you're going to do, that you would turn it over to God. Remember, if God's not in it, Why are you involved in it? See, you don't belong to yourself anymore. Your body, your mind, your life belongs to God. It's not yours anymore. And sometimes we have that attitude, that thing that, you know, it's mine. No, it's not. You know, everything that you see belongs to God. Everything that you have belongs to God. Yeah. Somehow, some way, okay, you're going to find that out the easy way or the hard way. Amen? See, all of us have a gauge of something as to where our understanding kicks in. I happened to visit with a sister yesterday, and she had a light, a solar light, and she was telling me how the sun gives light to that light. And, you know, where does the sun come from originally? From God. So whatever power the sun has, it was given to it by what? God. See, now, God uses that power for our convenience to what? To keep us warm. And sometimes, yet, you know, a lot of us get, well, it's a little too hot, you know. But in reality, how about the poor people who live in places that it's cold and they don't have clothes? They adjust like the animals and everything else, and they get, you know, they get through it, you know. It's important for us to realize how God has the solutions, and most importantly, He has the protection for you and for me that only God can give. You see, sometimes, you know, especially with this COVID, I've had all kinds of texts and questions. I had a nurse that sent me everything that the president did, and I said, I don't really care for you to send me that stuff. You know, I don't. It's not my life. It's his life, not mine. You know, but everything that you do is connected with God. He's the one that gives us the breath of life that we had. Yeah. He's the one that takes care of us. Now, yesterday I was walking my little dog and got over down the street, and a gentleman come out that I generally talk to. Been doing that for months. And yesterday he said, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is Lou." And he said, "You know," he said, "I really enjoy talking to you and what have you." And I said, "Well," I said, "I enjoy coming by here and talking to you too, you know." And he said, "You know, I nearly died." I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "I was bitten by a snake, by a spider." And he said, "It was a small thing." He said, "But the valve, one of the valves near my heart was disintegrating because of the poison." And he said, "But you know," he said, "they took care of it at the hospital." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "God's good, you know." See, I want him to know that the hospital is good, the doctors are good, but the one that put them there was God. Amen? Yeah, you see, sometimes I think this is something very important. We look at how dangerous something is, but the Word of God tells us what? All things work together for the good for those who what? Who love God. Yeah. See, you know, our lives are in God's hands. You know, when that gentleman was telling me, I really enjoy the guy. He's an old-timer like me, and we have a lot of fun just talking and, you know. But, you know, I want him to know, and I want everyone to know, how good God is to me. Yeah, and I hope he sees that. See, I don't want to jump up and down and tell him I'm a Christian. No. I want to be an example of Christ to him. Yeah, and we were taught at Horizon a long time ago, the easiest way to reach across to someone is to extend your hand to them. And the second thing would be to smile. Yeah. And I enjoy doing that. Amen? I hope you do that too, because it's a way of ministering to people, and it opens up that door that only God can open. Amen? In verse 15, he said, "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened him in God." God has a method of reaching out to us in different ways. Okay. What happens a lot of times is that we're not looking for that, or we're not sensitive enough to see it. You see, God had sent Jonathan to encourage David and to help him to understand, "I'm with you, you know, everything is going to work out all right." Yeah. And sometimes I've had people who call, and, you know, I had a lady a week ago, and she was telling me, I met her on the walk, and she was telling me that she was not feeling well, and she was sick. And I said, "Why don't you come to the Bible study tonight, and we'll anoint you and pray for you." And she said, "Where?" And so I told her. So she came that night, and by the grace of God, we prayed for her. After the service, she came over and she said, "You know what? I really, really felt great tonight." I said, "You know, I just," and I said, "Well, you know, thank God for that, not me." You know, see, somehow or another, God is available to you and me, and you can be available for someone else who needs help, who's struggling with something. Amen? Yeah. You see, I think a lot of times people say, "Well, I don't have the gift to do that." What gift do you have? You know, God has given you life. Yeah. He's blessed you with the clothes that you have to wear, the car you have, the food. Yeah. Is that all that you can see? Mike McIntosh taught us at Horizon, when you come to church, he said, don't sit in the back and look. He said, look around you, because there's always a need somewhere in the body. He said, and look around you, because he said, go to that person that has that need and encourage them. Yeah. I had a gentleman that went to our Bible study, and turned out that he lived next door to a Muslim. Yeah. And this one morning I was sharing on, you know, reaching out to people. And I asked, is there anybody here that has difficulties with their neighbors? And he said, "Well, I don't have a difficulty," he said, "but I never talked to the guy." I said, "Do you love Jesus?" And he said, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, what did the Lord tell you to do?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Didn't God tell you to love God with everything you have and to love your neighbor?" "Yeah, but Lou, he's not my neighbor." I said, "Yes, he is." I said, "See, we don't choose the neighbor, God does. We don't look at the outside of people. It doesn't make any difference who it is. How about if the Lord came and he came as somebody you didn't know? And he talked to you and he helped you, you know, would you take the help? Or would you say, well, no, I don't want to listen to this person. He's not my nationality, or he's not this or that." See, be careful. See, because God has blessed you with a uniqueness that's called a gift. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and you, whether you know it or not, have a gift of being able to share Christ with somebody else. And if you ask God to show you, he will. I have a friend who passed away a few years ago, and he was a very accomplished brick and mason and concrete man. And we were at a dinner one time, and he said, "Lou, I don't have the gift of talking to people." He said, "I thank God for the gift to put bricks together to help people." He said, "So we go all over the world putting bricks together for people anywhere, and we don't charge." You see, there's something that God has given you that you can use to reach out to somebody else. Yeah. See, your body, regardless of who you are, you have your toes, your feet, your arms, your legs. You have everything, and it all works together to what? To move you. Yeah. What about if the foot said, "I'm not going with you today"? Yeah. "I'm going to stay home. I don't feel like going with you." Yeah. It doesn't work that way. Amen? And it doesn't work when we go around telling people, "I don't know what I can do." God didn't put you here to have a question. God gave you the answer. "I am the life, the way, and the truth." Amen? Amen. See, don't depend on your own self for that. Like David, he asked God. The Lord gave him the answer. Ask God. He will give you the answer. He will show you what you have, how to use it. Sometimes when I'm here and my brother Stevie invites people to come forward, and said, if you have a problem, if you're sick, if you need something, come up, I'll pray with you. That invitation is not from him. That invitation is from God to you. Yeah? I'll tell you what, God loves us so much and we don't get it. And he can make everything in our lives so different and so better. And yet, somehow, we have that old saying, "I need that." No, you don't. The Word of God said he meets all your needs. Amen? In verse 17, remember Jonathan is here to encourage David. And he said unto him, "Fear not. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, nor shalt thou be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, that thou also Saul, my father, knoweth." Now, here's a person who's a believer in God as well. And he's saying, "You know what? My father is not going to do nothing to you." Yeah. Now, his faith and trust was the same way. He wasn't, you know, telling him, "God is watching out for you. You're going to be the king, and I'm, you know, I know that." You know, God told you that. What did God tell us? That we are going to go and be with him forever? Amen? Yeah. Don't you want that? I do. Amen? Yeah. I mean, we see a lot of struggles here. I've gone through some very difficult things the last couple of years. But I'll tell you what, I encourage you to let God carry you, because he carried me and he still does. Amen. Yeah. Only he can. And the two made a covenant, verse 18, before his Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hekali, which is on the south of Jesse something? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him unto the king's hand. Now all of a sudden, you have another group of people that are joining Saul. We're going to help you. You got an army, man. That's not enough. You know? See, we live in the city. We know all the places where David hides. Okay. We'll get him and deliver him to you. Yeah. There's always someone who doesn't like you, who doesn't accept you, who might have whatever reasons they have to dislike you. You're not here for them. You're here because God put you here. Yeah, I was talking to my sister this morning. We live in a neighborhood that has a lot of things going in it. And God put us here to be a light unto that neighborhood. He put us here to love people. Amen? Some years ago, some of you may recall this, we were having 3,000 people saved at this theater over here every month. Yeah, that's a lot of people coming to know the Lord. Yeah. Somehow, that same God that brought all those people there is still here. And he's inside of us. Amen? And the people are still here. We are still in the process of reaching out to them and loving them the way God told us to do it. Amen? You see, Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't practice what they practiced. See, when they came to him, what did he do? He loved them. He didn't threaten them. Yeah. See, this is the same way with all of us here. God has a plan and purpose for us being here, and somehow, some way, with God's help, God, please use us to accomplish that. Amen? I always, when we have the opportunity to serve the community, I believe that's something great. Yeah, I'm very grateful that our building's been used by a lot of different people. And when they come in here and they use it, they see the name of Jesus on the wall. That's who we serve. That's who we believe in. That's who we trust. Amen? Amen. And somehow, hopefully, when they, you know, they're here, they're going to see that and remember that. Amen? And verse 21. Here's a man who knew God, who had been chosen by God, but God had taken away the Holy Spirit away from him. And he said, Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Yeah. Go, I pray, prepare yet and know. See his place where he hunts is, and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very underhand, or, you know, he's hiding all the time, you know, and that wasn't true. The word of God told us that he moved around, what, in the wilderness. See? But somehow, the ideas and the thoughts that go through other people, they're not from God. Amen? See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if it be in the hand, that I will search him out throughout all the thousand of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain of south of Jeshmon. Saul and his men went to seek him, And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. It doesn't make any difference the information that's given to someone else. The accomplishment or the will of that person is not going to be accomplished in you. Remember what Jesus said, it's not my will, but thy will be done. See, whatever it is that anybody wants to do to somebody else, it has to go through God first. If God says no, remember what he told the enemy? He said, you can do everything to Job, but you can't touch him. You can touch him, but you can't kill him. The limitations of anybody in this world, animal, human, whatever it is in God's hands, not in people's hands. Amen? And he's the one that makes a decision as to what's going to happen. Not anybody else. And if it happens, he's got a plan and purpose. Yeah? And that's going to work. David understood the encouragement that Jonathan had brought to him. He was moving around from place to place in the wilderness. And, you know, he wasn't worried. I want to paint for you a little picture. You have a mountain, okay? Saul and his army were on this side of the mountain, and David was on this side of the mountain. Saul was looking for David. David was looking to God. We don't know what the people across the street are thinking, but God does. You see, every step of our lives and everything is in the hands of God. It's not in the hands of anyone else.
Amen.
And somehow, you know, in verse 26, it said, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. Yeah. Somehow, some way, certain things within our composition always come out. Amen? And they get in the way. Yeah. I always laugh when we say, we love ice cream. How can you love ice cream? Yeah. Doesn't love you. Yeah. There's no response to it, but we say that. Amen? Yeah? Yeah. I imagine what the fear was about what might happen to David. I think you're familiar with the story about when the enemy came and took his wives, his children, and they took everything that they had in the city. And the word says that he was afraid because the man wanted to turn on him and kill him. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Yeah, you see, God's right there. Yeah, I always take a picture of God being right next to you. We can't see him, but he's there. And you reach over and he puts his arm around you. He said, I'm right here. Don't worry about it. You know, and he's there. Amen? Just because we don't see him, he's there. The word of God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. Amen? Yeah? You think God was joking when he said that? You know? See, God intends for you to grow in faith and trust in him. Especially in the times that we're living. We don't know what's going on across the street, but we know what's going on here. Amen? Okay. You know what's going on in your house? You live there. Amen? I learned a long time ago, it says, when you allow evil to come into your house, it's very hard to depart from there. Be careful what you bring into your house that God doesn't want you to bring in. Yeah, we see a lot of compromise today in a lot of things that are going on. Don't compromise your walk with God. See, one of these days, the Lord's going to come. And most people aren't ready for that. You be ready for it. Amen? Because I'll tell you, when he comes, the word said, don't turn around to go get something that you don't need. We got everything we need. We're ready to go. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 27, he said, but there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste ye and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. And wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistine. Therefore they called that place a certain name. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. I want you to see how God's timing is perfect. They were getting ready to come after David, and God said no. Got him a message. The message, come, we need you over here. So they went. And David went about his business. Why? Because God was covering him. God was watching over him. And God was blessing him. Turn to the book, Psalms 17. Now, this psalm is the psalm that David wrote after this had happened with Saul. You see, the word tells us everything that had taken place over here. Now, David is sitting in his office, and he's writing, okay, what God did for him over there, he's writing it here, okay? But he's writing it to encourage you and I how we live our lives and conduct our lives. Okay, look at verse 1. It said, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. You see, when you're right with God and your relationship is solid with him, that's what he's, you know, he said, I come to you because I believe in you. And I don't wrong you. I'm not going to wrong you. Yeah. See, this is an important thing, how our walk, you know, our talk should match our walk. Amen? You tell people, I believe in God, then walk with God. Amen? You know, don't just say things, you know, apply things to your life. I was telling my sister, I went to visit a sister in her home, and she loves the Lord, and she has a very attractive daughter, and I've known them for a few years, and she had called me about a year ago and told me that her daughter had a relationship with a guy, and that she said he comes over to the house, and you know, they're real friendly and everything. He said, but everything is cool. I said, good, no problem, you know. And about four months ago, she called me and she said, he spent the night here. And I said, did you say anything? She said, yes. Said, I told her that she's not supposed to do that, that this is my house. I said, so what happened? She said, well, we're working on it. She said, I'm gonna do my best to follow God. I said, all right. So I was there again, and the guy had moved in. They're not married. And I didn't say nothing. And she said, I know. I said, I didn't say nothing. Yeah. See, you know your life. You know your faith. You know your walk. You know what you tell people. Remember the woman that was caught when Jesus came to get water, and he told her, go tell your husband, and she said, I'm not married. And he said, rightly so, have you said. You see, when you talk to God, be honest with God, because he knows the truth already. See? Chuck Smith gave a message to us, all the men, one time in Anaheim. And he closed with a very beautiful passage. He said, for every knee and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he said, now, are you ready to do that? He said, you need to do it here. He said, if you do it that day, he said, I'm sorry, but you're not getting into heaven. He said, you have the choice to do it here. We have the choice every day to do it God's way. Okay. Not compromise. Okay. I'm going to close. look at verse 15 in that psalm. David is speaking, and he said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, one of these days, you're not going to be here. You're either going to be with the Lord, or not. Amen. But don't play games with God. Don't compromise what you know, what God said. Say, yeah, I want to do it that way, but you don't. Yeah. You see, when you love someone, it's important to you the way you conduct yourself, the way you address yourself, and the things that you do. You can't really do enough for someone that you love with everything you got within you. You know, I would encourage you to give God everything you have and watch what God does with you. Amen?